balls far. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Thursday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Let's get into all kinds of different stuff. The Super Bowl champs start their season tonight. Eh, maybe not. But the Dallas Cowboys will be on the field against the Pittsburgh Steelers. First NFL preseason game of the year at the Hall of Fame Classic. Can't wait.
Remember, we didn't get this last year.
Did not get any of this.
We had no preseason last year.
It kind of snuck up on me, and then I saw a story this morning. You realize a couple of guys that are going into the Hall? Have you seen the list?
Yeah, I know a couple.
Okay, who?
Troy Polamalu, the hair guy.
Okay.
Right? Am I right?
I think so.
And Jimmy Johnson? Jimmy's going. So, I mean, that makes sense, Dallas and Pittsburgh playing.
It does.
So you asked for two. That's the two that I know.
Charles Woodson?
Very worthy, yes. You got a list there?
I'm looking for a list right now.
Okay.
But it's going to be the combined, right?
The combined. Because
last season didn't happen. So you've got from 2021, Alan Faneca, offensive lineman, mostly with the Steelmen. Megatron, Calvin Johnson, John Lynch, Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson. Then the coach is Tom Flores. Some guys nobody's ever heard of. Drew Pearson was one that finally got in from the he'd been right on the edge the whole time. And then also the 2020 guys. Steve Atwater, Isaac Bruce, Steve Hutchison, Edgerrin James. Here's your Polamalu from last year.
Last year.
Yes.
Okay.
Jimbo Covert, Cliff Harris, old-time Dallas Cowboy, Alex Karras. Remember him? You know who Alex Karras was?
No.
Have you seen the movie Blazing Saddles?
Yes.
Mongo.
Okay.
By the way, if you haven't seen the movie Blazing Saddles, I would recommend it, but not with children.
It's not a family-friendly Western.
Not really. Bill Cowher, Jimmy Johnson, some of the coaches as well from last year's class that didn't get to go through this process. No, seriously. I mean, it's funny.
A lot of Cowboys and Steelers.
It's funny. I'm all of a sudden I'm now thinking about Blazing Saddles. One of the funnier movies of all time, and there's no chance in the world it could get made today.
No.
Matter of fact, I'm surprised the entire cast
hasn't been canceled
outside of maybe one guy.
Surprised Mel Brooks hasn't. Do you think Mel Brooks is safe?
I guess, but it's Mongo straight in Game of Life. That's right. It's two.
quick, favorite Mel Brooks movie?
That one.
That's it?
Oh, man, I love that movie.
Unpopular pick, but I love this, is Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Ah, that was pretty funny. It was pretty funny.
There are some jokes in there that still just crack me up.
Yes.
Dave Chappelle, before anyone knew who Dave Chappelle was. Oh, absolutely. He was in it. Just some really good stuff.
The guy from, what was his name? Carrie something.
Carrie Ells?
ELWS, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. He was in Twister. He was in the first Saw movie, yeah.
He was also in, what was the movie? Alicia Silverstone was kind of like stalking him.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
Remember that? She was a young gal.
Yeah. Which is very believable, right?
I mean,
gorgeous Alicia Silverstone stalking somebody.
Yeah. Too young.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was like writing a book or something, staying up in the loft.
Yeah.
God, somebody help us.
Yeah, might as well have been a remake of Misery.
A little bit, but crossed with, yeah. Crossed with, say, Poison Ivy. Remember those movies?
Yeah.
It's kind of a mix of that.
Fear. Remember Fear?
Fear. That was Mark Wahlberg,
wasn't
it?
And Reese Witherspoon.
Yes.
Yeah. Never look at a roller coaster the same.
Yeah, that's what I was just sitting there thinking. Yo.
Where are we going with this conversation?
Whoa.
Okay, Hall of Fame game tonight. Spaceballs was good, too.
Spaceballs was good. But I can remember as a little, not a little kid, I was probably in junior.
Young Frankenstein.
I was probably in junior high.
Yeah. When you first saw Blazing Saddles.
Yes. But it was so funny because, you know, listen, kids, there wasn't always these things called Blu-ray and DVD.
Yeah.
Which are those even a thing now? Or do you just rent it off of Amazon or whatever? Buy it or what have you. Anyhow, back in the day, there was these things called VHS tapes.
Yeah, be kind, rewind.
That's right. It is. Had that sticker on about every one of them.
Yeah.
And that movie was so old, even then, that it was hard to find it from, like, you know, Blockbuster wasn't here, but there was a couple of places, well, right across the street, actually, in the Drennan building was a rental place.
Video store? Cool.
Yeah, and games and stuff like that. We finally found it. My Uncle Cliff and my dad, they were just, I mean, they were like two kids
when they
were talking about it. Like, it was like winter time, cold. You couldn't do anything. Everybody's hanging out. It was at our house or whatever. They started talking about movies, my mom or whoever. And it was like, oh, we got to find it. We got to go find Blazing Saddles. Oh, and then they're starting talking about it to each other and trying to tell me kind of what happens, and they're laughing so hard they can't even hardly talk to each other. And then they finally find it, and sure enough, it was funny. There's no doubt about it.
It's a classic.
It was.
And you're right.
Funny.
Couldn't be made today because no one, the younger generation, wouldn't get the humor.
Oh heck, no.
You know?
No. JP's video. That's correct. Right across the street.
My go-to place was Total Entertainment Center.
In Clinton.
If fellow Clintonites are listening, they know exactly where that was. And it had everything, games, movies. Mm-hmm. And I would go there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And rent movies and games and stuff. Yeah. It's not there anymore. Good times.
Yeah, neither is any of that.
Good. Nobody rents movies anymore from, like, physically. You just do it on demand.
Yeah, you just do it on demand. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Do you even go buy DVDs anymore?
I buy Blu-rays of movies that are worth buying. Like you know there are going to be classics. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Stuff like that. And the quality of a Blu-ray is way better than a streaming. That's obvious why, right? And if you don't have good internet, your stream could not be good. But if you have Blu-ray, you don't have to worry about that. Plus, it's good to have in case your internet goes out.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Very true. So that got us off track for
a
little bit.
Well, people tell me they like the off
it's fine
topics.
Listen,
they
doesn't
like
bother
the
me
internet,
at all.
So we don't stop it unless people are texting us going, is this a sports show or what?
Oh, I'm sure there's some people out there saying that. Oh, we're talking sports here.
Your niece going to text
Parker.
Us?
Yeah, Parker. She'll grab my sister's phone and start firing off texts. Thought we were talking sports, Bubba. No, not yet. NFL starts tonight. The Hall of Fame game is the Cowboys and the Steelers. Probably, this could be a great argument. But as far as, like, uniform games, what I mean is when you see those two uniforms on the field, it's like the coolest as it gets. This game would be right there toward the top of that in the NFL.
Yeah.
The Cowboys whites with the Steelers black and gold doesn't get much better.
Exactly.
Don't need to start an argument. Cheeseheads, I can already hear you running off the road with the Packers unis, but this is one of the better ones for sure. So that's tonight. Maybe some clarification. I'm reading some stuff about the move that the Thunder made yesterday right here as we got on the air. We were both kind of baffled about just Kemba Walker going away for nothing. We'll talk a little bit about that probably at the end of the show. Big 12, we never got to this yesterday. The Big 12 and the Pac-12 met on, Tuesday? To talk about a scheduling alliance, what would that look like? what would happen. What does it accomplish? Does it accomplish? Does it accomplish anything? Does it? I don't know. We'll see. You mentioned bucket list items in Oklahoma high school sports yesterday, so I wrote down a few. And need help. I know I'm missing multiples here.
Well, I really meant like anything sports in the state, but we can do high school sports.
Oh, I thought we were talking about high school.
Well, we can, absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, I wrote down some. Like to hear everybody else's opinion. And then also, I watched a little bit of the Olympics last night, and I was baffled by the lack of success that the Americans had in one specific discipline on the track. Baffled at the horrible record of the Americans in one specific event. Tell you what that is. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. Give us your bucket list of high school sports events. It can be whatever. It doesn't matter to me. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other, download the Paragon Communications app. The app has the Penny News inside of it. Check out this week's edition of the Penny News. It's on the website, thepennynews.com. You can go pick up a free copy of the Penny News as it's making its way, dispersing all across the area as we speak. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, also in the app. We got high school football coming up faster than you can realize. Just a couple of weeks. T-minus.
I realize it.
T-minus three.
Anyone else in the building realizes
it. T-minus 3 weeks from tomorrow.
Woo.
Right here at Big Elk Stadium. And then also Skinny on Sports Podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and listen to us on iTunes. If you do that, subscribe to us, and then you will be able to be alerted when a new podcast drops. Also, Facebook page and that KADSAM website as well. Okay, Jared, so I watched a little bit of the Olympics last night. My man Wyatt Ray Compton got home from 2 weeks traveling the country with his dad. He's home. He was like, let's watch track and field, track and field. I was like, okay. So we're watching track and field. And it was like the good and the bad for the American squad. The good, and I meant to remember his name, was this giant mountain of a man named Jason, was it Rouser? The shot put. World record holder, and he just demolished the field with his throws. I think there was one of the other Americans threw it over 22 meters. All three of his were over 22 meters, just short of the world record was 23.3 or so, and his longest throw was 22.9 something. Just an absolute demolishing there in the shot put. Here it is, Ryan Krauser. Broke the Olympic record, defended his shot put title. He's the winner. 23.3. Anyhow, so that was the good.
Okay.
And then as that's going on, the qualification for the finals in the 4x100 meter relay take place. And I don't, and maybe I'm just thinking about being a kid. And this hasn't been the case for a while. I mean, I get it. Usain Bolt was the fastest guy on earth for quite a time here. But there's still got to be four of them, right? And Jamaica did win this race a couple of times in the Olympics.
Yeah, man.
But to me, when I think of like, okay, what should the Americans be dominant at? It's like men's and women's basketball. They always win.
Yeah, we've talked about that, right.
And then on the track, it's like, okay, this the 4x100 meter relay. Maybe they don't win the 100, like one of the individuals from America. But when you put four guys together, good luck. I mean, this is kind of the what I'm saying? Feels like, okay, America should win this. Maybe not every time, but a bunch of the time.
Right.
And get a medal. And, you know, if you don't win, you're second.
Right, like Jamaica, you know, like you said.
Because, like, Bolt is just faster.
They had Bolt, but they don't have three other Bolts. you're saying
right, but if you're
Americans
close enough,
could produce four.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, you'd think in right. my mind, I'm thinking that
a better team than the other team.
Yeah, like maybe you don't win one time because Jamaica has three pretty good ones, and the Bolt is so much faster than everybody else. He kind of catches you and wins one or whatever.
Right.
How long do you think it's been since America has won the 4x100 meter relay gold medal?
Well, when you phrase it like that, I'm going to say it's been a while.
Just fire a guess out there.
96.
2000.
2000.
2000 Olympics down in Sydney, Australia. It's the last time the USA has won the men's gold medal in the 4x100 meter relay.
That's a bit.
How long do you think it's been since they have gotten a medal that they still hold on to?
I'm longer than that. So,
silver in 04.
Silver in 04.
They got a silver in 04. That's the last time that the 4x100 meter relay for the American squad won a medal that they still get to keep. The reason I say it like that is in 2012, they also won the silver, but Tyson Gay got popped for doping, and so they had to give it away.
Ah, okay. The question, I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Do we have to give it up if they don't retain it the next year, defend it the next year? So the next Olympics?
So the next Olympics, we're coming on 20 years since the United States has won a medal in the 4x100 meter relay. That is just shocking to me.
Come on, University of Oregon. You can't help us out with
Arkansas?
Yeah.
What's going on, Arkansas? But
Come on, Phil Knight.
I mean, when I think of...
better shoes.
Am I the only one here? Because when I think of track and field, I think of U.S. sprinting. And they're not going to win a medal in anything.
Right.
I mean, anyway, it's just like, whoa. No way. When they started flashing those stats up, it's like, golly. I guess you don't realize. And, of course, as soon as... So they don't even make the finals this year. Last night, miss out on the finals to Ghana. Really? We can't beat Ghana? We don't have four guys that could be a team good enough to beat Ghana and just getting, you know, the last eight? We can't even be the top eight. I think the guy that we would both, or I know I would, consider, you know, the king of sprinting in the United States of America, one, Carl Lewis, fired out on Twitter just how embarrassing it was for the Americans to do what they did and how everything was wrong. They had them in the wrong order. They clearly didn't practice the handoffs. And, I mean, that, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're out here and it's seventh grade track meet, somebody has to turn around and grab it and then turn back around. That may not be as big a deal. In the Olympics, if you turn your head back to figure out where the baton is, it's over.
Yeah.
You're done. You're smoked. And that's what happened last night. So the Americans don't even make the finals in the 4x100 meter relay.
I'm sure they had better things to do.
Carl Lewis is not happy.
Good.
Not happy at all. It just baffled me when I saw that as the race is about to start. By the way, Canada, that dude that won the 100, holy Moses, is he fast. LaGrosse. Whew. I mean, he sucked them up in that first heat. They were about sixth when he grabbed the baton, and they ended up second. And if the race would have been five more meters, they probably would have won. That dude's fast. Anyway.
I'm impressed you watched that much Olympics last night.
I watched those two races, and the guys throw the shot put. That's all.
Okay.
That dude.
Well, that's a lot for you. I'm impressed.
Listen.
More than I've watched.
What's her name? Tamara Mensah-Stock
right.
Got me fired up about Olympics after her rant. You know what? I thought about this yesterday when we got off the show after I played her thoughts about loving the United States, and we can do that again. I thought, you know what we ought to do? That ought to be our opener.
I'm been toying with the idea of freshening up our opener.
Tamara Mensah-Stock as soon as the intro stops, boom, there she is.
Yeah. Save that clip. We might do that.
I've got it right here.
Might do that. I got some other production we need to do today too.
Got it right here. So anyway, that was embarrassing for the Americans. I'm not saying it. Carl Lewis is, you know, the best sprinter of all time from America.
I think he has a right to say that.
It was funny because on Twitter it was like he said it, and then some different people were like, oh yeah, everybody's an expert on Twitter. Oh yeah, it's Carl Lewis.
He's
really
an
is.
Expert.
You know, making that joke. So There's your Olympics.
Will you continue to watch the Olympics, say, tomorrow night?
Nope.
Not going to watch the gold medal game between the U.S. and France?
My interest wanes because of the opponent.
Because I would have been, no intrigue that this was the team that beat him earlier?
I don't care about that. I would have been much more intrigued to watch Luka.
That's true.
To watch Luka against the Americans instead of France. I don't care about Evan Fournier and Rudy Gobert and Nicholas Batum. I don't care.
It's an all-star game?
Yeah. I wanted to see Durant and Luka.
Yeah.
Because that could have been an absolute show.
Yeah.
Instead, Batum had to block a shot at the end of that game, and Slovenia goes down, and France is going to play the U.S. in the finals. I don't care.
Well, I'll watch because there's, well, nothing else to watch on a Friday night at 9:30.
Yeah, it's...
And when I say watch, the TV will be on in the garage as I tinker with stuff. I'm not going to sit down intently and watch, but that's probably as much Olympics I'm going to watch.
Yeah, I'm probably
done. And then when the U.S., as expected, are up by 20 at half, I'm probably going to turn it off.
By the way, Nelly Korda, you know who that is?
No, I know who Nelly is.
Golfer.
But... Oh, okay.
She shot 62. Today in the Olympics.
Wow.
With a double bogey on the last hole.
That's insane.
4-shot lead for her.
Golly.
I think this next topic will get people fired up.
In a good way or bad way?
In a good way.
Because we're really good at firing people up in a bad way.
In a very good way.
Okay.
I think people want to get their opinions out to us. And so the question is, and we talked, what were we talking about yesterday? We were talking about the ADM stuff.
Right.
With the OSSAA reclassifications coming up next year for the 21-22 school year, how that affects districts around here and all that. And then you kind of fired out, oh, that'd be a good topic. What if we talked about bucket list high school sports events or games or whatever you want to put in there, really? And so I thought, yeah.
In the state of Oklahoma.
What have you not seen that you want to see?
Or even stuff that we've seen that we suggest other people see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and as far as that right there goes, to me, and I say this every single year, and I'm not kidding, the best thing that happens in the state of Oklahoma year in, year out, athletically, is a no-brainer to me.
Probably on my list.
And it's the small school state tournament at the Big House.
Yes.
That to me, that is the best thing that there is.
I narrowed it down to Saturday. I mean, the tournament itself is fantastic, but when you get to Saturday in the Big House to see all those state championship games under one roof on one ticket, basically, two tickets maybe, and see the raw emotion and the effort that's put out by those kids. And it's clear, I mean, you're getting the two best teams in their respective class on the court at the same time. The atmosphere is fantastic. I'm going to hate to see that moved into the new arena whenever that is built.
Yeah, you hope it just has the same.
You hope it has that same feel.
Yeah.
You know, there's no feeling like you get when you turn off of Reno and you start pulling into the fairgrounds. You get that little, you know, even for us as broadcasters, when we have no stake, we have no claim in any teams, you know, in some years we do, in other years we don't, but when we're going there to broadcast those games and covering every one of those on Saturday, it's fantastic for me. And even before when I was broadcasting as a teenager going to those games, I mean, just awesome. That is an atmosphere. It's unmatched. In the small school realm of athletics.
It's funny you said Saturday because I was sitting here thinking I'd rather go Friday, and I just got that text.
Well, Friday, yeah, you get a ton.
9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Yeah, that is a marathon of games.
It is, and it's the semifinals, and honestly, it feels like now there's more games. Obviously, there's 8 versus 4,
mm-hmm.
but it also feels to me like the best games happen Friday.
Yeah,
and then Saturday,
because all those teams got knocked the nerves off on Thursday.
Yeah.
In the first round. Because everybody's nervous. It's the state tournament. Don't care if you're a freshman or senior. Everybody's nervous. And you could see that in those Thursday's games. And admittedly, you see a little sloppiness at times.
And the matchups aren't quite all the way through.
Yeah, sometimes you get
It seems like there's always one In each bracket, there's one you're like, okay, I can't wait to watch that one. Right. Everything else is like, okay, this team's going to beat that team. But then when you get into Friday, the semifinal games, it feels like, it is 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Yeah. It's all day, wall to wall basketball. But it's just something you have to do. And no offense to the other classes, the bigger classes, it just doesn't feel the same.
No.
It just, as the A and B. And so that, you know, that's as far as just, I mean, it's, I don't know if you count it as bucket list because we do it every year, but.
But like I said, this is something we suggest. Right. If you haven't done it, go do that.
So
go
now
check it out.
I'm going to go to something that I've been to. I've seen these two teams play, but I haven't been to the backyard brawl. And I think.
That's on my list,
it's
too.
Jinx and Union.
We mentioned that.
I've seen it in a state title game back in 98. When we were up there already preparing for the next day in Stillwater. But I haven't seen it in the regular season. And there have been some unbelievable finishes in that game. You know, the Kewan Jones, think what year was that? 2000 maybe? 2001? 99? Anyway, where, you know, he takes a screen pass with like 8 seconds left from his own 20 and scores as time runs out. I mean, just crazy, crazy. It might have been 99. Anyhow. But I think that's a game that, you know, for us over here, it's hard to get to. But I think if there is anything nationally that would make a list of top 10 or top 20 things to see in national high school football, it would be that.
It was 2000, by the way.
Okay, that's, I knew it was somewhere back in there.
It's on YouTube if you want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
21 seconds. He scored with like 8 seconds left.
Yeah, that's it. I didn't remember there was 8 seconds somewhere.
Yeah, there. Yeah. I think 13 had a classic finish. I can't remember.
There's been a bunch of them that have had crazy finishes.
Yeah, that one is. That's one I've never been to, and I'm with you. You know, I want to see it in Tulsa. I don't want to see it at, you know.
I mean, it was nuts being for a state title, but I'd rather see the other.
Right. Yeah. Seems like you probably get more of a feel of what that rivalry is about. And speaking of rivalries, there's a ton of great football rivalries. I can't say rivalry. While we're on this topic, what are some of the best ones? Backyard brawl is obviously top of the list.
Clinton Weatherford.
I think, I was going to get there. What is one like? Is it Broken Bow and Ida Bell?
That's so funny. I got it written down.
I hear that's a nasty one. I hear that's really fun.
I've got it written down because at Southwestern, I knew some guy, a guy and his sister from Broken Bow.
Yeah,
and he would always tell me because, you know, Weatherford Clinton's here, and we would, you know, when it was in Weatherford for sure, we were liable to kind of slip over there and watch that game on a Friday night, and he'd always be like, "Man, you guys think this is like nasty? You need to come home with me when Broken Bow plays Ida Bell." He's like, there's never a year where there's not fights in the parking lot. You know, he'd be like, it's just different down in Southeast Oklahoma. We're just crazier than you guys are.
I agree,
which
there
is probably the truth. I
absolutely agree.
At the end of the day, but it's funny you have that one because
that's easy to say because you said he's from Broken Bow.
Yes,
goes with the school there. Yes. I'm assuming. Okay, yes. That's easy to say. I went to Clinton, and I, you know, there's the trash talk and the locker room talk and all that stuff. That's like that in any rivalry. You know, it's easy to to one that you have no invested interest in and say, well, it's okay, but, you know, ours is pretty good, and da-da-da.
Yeah, I think it was just maybe the things around it and the outside, the way that fights happen and that kind of stuff, which...
It is a different world over there. I can agree to that. Yeah, but...
Sorry to you guys that have the app if you're in Southeast Oklahoma.
Well, I love going over there, Beavers Bend. I love that area. It's a different world than it is here.
Here's another one that we had yesterday that especially over the past 20 years might be it's the smallest teams with the most on the line outside of Jinx Union, and that's Shattuck Laverne. We had that yesterday when we started talking about this. And, you know, that's been as big a game as there's been for – decade or more now. Regular season, met in the state championship game a few times as well. And so I think that would be an interesting one. And another part of that is because it is eight man. And and if you haven't, if not, you're really used to the way that that game goes versus an 11 man football game, it's totally different.
Right.
It's, you'll look out there and go, man, look how big the field is, because there's just so much more space.
Yeah. Yeah. And final thoughts, football. We've been to, you mentioned it, we've been to a ton of the Custer County conflict. That's a special game. And in people outside of the area, when you say Western Oklahoma football, that's the first game that comes up to their mind.
Oh, 100%.
Weatherford versus Clinton. And always seems to be for the top of the 4A1 crown or whatever district they're in. Oh, it's kind of like OU Texas. Whoever won that game kind of had the inside track to a Big 12 title. It's kind of the same way in that game. That's always – so that's one of those on there for me. Shifting the basketball, we were on basketball, going back to basketball. I've been to two of these, and it's a really cool tournament in Ada, the Bertha Frank Teague, the all-girls basketball tournament that features the top teams in the, from all classes, really. And it really proves it, too, because you could see a team like, you know, like a team like Hydro goes down there and show their worth against a team that's top in 4A, whoever that may be. I've been to two of them, and it is really good basketball.
Yeah, that was one that I thought of that I know you had been to.
Yeah.
That I hadn't been. I would almost guarantee, and I couldn't tell you what it's called, but I would almost guarantee you that in that same part of the world, there is one hell of a spring baseball tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Think about everybody that's around there.
Yes.
From being in 4A down to whoever in Class B, Asher.
Roth.
Silo. They're all
around there, yeah.
Right. And so I know there's something there. I just couldn't tell you what it's called.
Yeah. That's something to look into. You're right.
You know, there's, just because of the tradition that exists in a 40-mile radius around Ada. I mean,
you look at Ada and then look at all the towns around Ada, and they're all recognizable for what you just said about baseball. And some good basketball, too.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's all of it. You know. But I just know there's got to be something.
Yeah.
Where you could spend a Thursday, Friday, Saturday watching some of the best baseball in the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah. Totally agree.
I think that's what kind of trying to be created here with that I-40 tournament, you know. And
you're getting teams like the Keebasicles.
Yeah, smaller schools with the big ones.
Yeah, they're kind of mixing that in with the Western Oklahoma with some good teams.
You know, I can remember years and years ago, I'm talking like late 80s, early 90s, there was a tournament here, a baseball tournament here at Elk, that Hammond, Leedy, Elk City. I can't remember who the fourth team was. You'd think it'd be Sayre or Merritt. But when Damon and Ryan were still in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And they played the Elk City team in the first game, first round. And it was an extra innings. It was an unbelievable baseball game. The Hammond ended up winning. And then so that Leedy and Hammond played in the finals the next night. And my boy Shane Kalk from the left side baffled the Minor Twins. Sure he remembers that. Sure he tells his Merritt kids out there right now, hey, don't let these old clothes fool you. Well, Shane used to be able to throw it. And if you don't believe me, go back and look at the whatever the tournament was called back then. And then about 1990 or 89, Damon and Ryan Minor couldn't touch it. I can just hear him.
What, is he on a rocking chair talking to his kid?
No. He's sitting there on a bucket out at the Merritt baseball field telling him this is how it used to go. So you better listen to me.
Yeah. He's the Carl Lewis of telling. Yeah. Oh, boy.
You know, and I know there's basketball. There's the 2 weeks of basketball tournaments in that January time frame.
Well, there's those tournament of champions.
Yeah, but I mean, even that, after that, you know, we've got the bi-county.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, that are in there.
The West Central.
There's those same ones, the West Central. Then they're all over the state.
Yeah.
You know, and used to, I can remember in the Oklahoman, kind of going around to one a day or featuring one a day.
Yeah,
you know, talking about the tradition and the history of of those different tournaments at different times throughout the state of Oklahoma. And so, you know, there's, you know, we've been all over the place from, I mean, you've been, we were at, what, Kiefer at one point with Clinton?
Yes. So, you know, I had to go up there one time.
I've been to Cleveland. Cashin has their county line tournament that always has a really good field. You know, like you said, West Central, the bi-county here brings in a good field. There's just tons of them. I mean,
my
all
favorite,
throughout.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite? Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Maybe.
My favorite's the five county.
I was going to say, I'm going to say the five county. And you know why?
Because there's a lot of our teams that we cover in it.
Yeah, not that.
Why?
Because you have to win a game to be able to play on Saturday.
Yeah.
You don't just get to get your tail kicked twice and then show up for a seventh place game. You actually have to win one to be able to play on Saturday.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a part of it. It's the week long. I like the week long instead of Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I like that.
I do like that. And you have the Thursday winners, the Friday losers.
I like how it rotates from school to school.
It goes different places. Yes.
I like that. To me, it's almost a state tournament preview because it almost, when it gets to that Saturday, it doesn't matter who's in the finals. The gym's packed with everybody from all representing schools in the surrounding area, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a lot of familiar faces. And it has in the intensity of it, of the finals, those two final games, girls and boys,
it's good
ratcheted
stuff.
Up. It to me, it almost replicates that feeling of the state tournament because to win the five county, you know that's a banner schools raise. You know, it's like we won the five county that year.
Absolutely, and
yeah,
and it by the time you get to Saturday. It feels like most of those games are very competitive because the fifth and sixth place teams in both boys and girls normally kind of the same caliber. The third and fourth place game, kind of the same. You know what I'm saying? It just all the way through there, it feels like this really close. Got one for the wooden bat baseball tournament out here in Western Oklahoma.
Yeah.
It's always a cool, you know, sound of baseball that you don't get to hear in the high school ranks very often. With the crack of the wood bat. Now, they're just the point, I guess, of this conversation at the end of the day is that there is so much out there to do.
Right.
There's so many places to go. And you almost kind of envy those folks because, I mean, you see them more than I do during basketball season, but there are a ton of people out here in Western Oklahoma that just like to go watch high school basketball. And mm-hmm. they might have graduated from school A or school B. They don't necessarily have the giant allegiance to it. And so they're traveling to the best game of the night.
Right.
And it could be wherever.
Yeah.
You know, and you kind of...
That's what my dad's turned into.
You know, and so you kind of get to see some of these things that we're talking about throughout the basketball. It seems like basketball more than football, just because, I don't know, it just feels like people like it better.
Yeah.
At least in the high school ranks, but you know, especially in the small schools, there's certain folks you see at games, and you think, what are they doing here? Oh, they just like to go watch,
right?
You know, and follow some of those teams throughout their runs to the playoffs, and then of course, when you get to the big house, we already talked about that, how special that becomes on that.
And the best part about all going to all those games, all those basketball games, the best part. The concession stands.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was about to say popcorn.
I was going to say the Frito chili pies, but you get those homemade, get the burgers and the hot dogs and stuff. It's not as corporate feeling. It's more of a, excuse me, a hometown.
Oh, well, yeah.
I love going.
They're out there cooking it.
Yeah. You walk up to the gym, you can smell the grill.
That was one of the coolest things about, one of the best things, like going out to Merritt when Jay and I did those games for those years. Is you get out of the vehicle and you could smell the smoke from the cooker outside that was cooking burgers and hot dogs. By the way, Hammond Girls will be in that Bertha Frank Teague this year.
Oh, fantastic.
So.
Okay.
There you go. We've had somebody.
Pack your bags, Kennedy.
Golly, we've.
It seems like every year. I think there's one year we didn't. Hammond was there 17. December 17th of 2017.
Oh, yeah, the year they won the state title.
The year they went on to win the state title. Mm-hmm.
Canute was the next year, right?
Was that the next year?
Yes, and they played in the state finals against Hydro.
Canute was the next year.
Did they have it last year?
No, they did not.
That's what I thought.
But I don't know before then if we had anybody in our network that went down there or in this area.
Well, it's three in a row then.
Actually, I think in our area, I think Hydro was going to go. I think they were invited back.
Oh, last year.
Yeah. I think. Don't quote me on that, but that's cool. Hammond going back. And they got a good team returning, too.
Absolutely.
I can't wait. We are 3 weeks away from start of high school athletics.
Yeah.
And then doesn't we go all possible. The way to March, man. Keep the inputs coming. We like that. The more award, I remember I've always heard about that, but I think since they've either won or the others hasn't been very good, it's not as
– feels like Moore hasn't been very good.
And when Westmore opened, the Moore War kind of – well, didn't it just basically go away?
Southmore, you mean?
I'm sorry, Southmore. Thank you. Southmore. When Southmore opened.
Yeah, I think that's probably the beginning of the downfall.
Oh, yeah.
When the third school.
Right. But I've always heard about the Moore War. Went to – had classes with a guy over at Swazoo who was from Moore, and he would just tell me about that over and over again. And then he'd tell me how he's going to fix the Moore Lions. I don't know how he did it or how he's doing with that.
Not well.
I don't think he's over there. I think he's somewhere else.
Maybe not well. All right. So, conference realignment. Oklahoma, Texas to the SEC has dominated the talk on any sports talk radio show basically across the country, this one included, over the last week and a half. And, you know, as it's gone along, you're starting to see different things pop up. I mean, from legislatures that are mad, thinking they can do something about it, to finally Bob Bowlesby has got in gear a little bit to try to, instead of just whining, to try to fix something. And that occurred on Tuesday as the Big 12 and the Pac-12 met to talk about maybe, I guess you would call it a scheduling pact or
alignment.
Yeah, it's not really
agreement.
It's not like they were going to merge conferences.
Right.
It's more of just kind of like what Notre Dame's done with
the
ACC.
It's to attract. It's to attract the big wigs at the TVs.
Obviously,
it's to make more attractive games that they want to buy into. Yeah.
So that both conferences can up their deals moving forward.
Right.
The problem is, does that fix the problem?
The problem being
that the two conferences are going to be lagging behind the other three when it comes to television marketability and the grant of rights deals that they're going to be able, or the TV rights deals that they're going to be able to coax out of the networks. I mean, this feels like a ploy because SEC or ESPN, ESPN's bought into the SEC,
yeah.
Period, end of story. So this feels like a move to try to get Fox to move and shake a little bit more in, discussions about them paying them, but then also maybe to get them kind of kick-started into the playoff bidding war that hasn't really come. I think both of us thought it might, but it really hasn't happened yet. Now, the 12-team stuff feels like it's been put on the back burner just a little bit
right,
with this SEC
stuff. They're waiting for the 12-team playoff to be finalized before I think the bidding war happens.
But does just a scheduling alliance and a guarantee of a certain amount of games, does that do enough to make the Big 12 stay viable as an 8-team league?
Not for me. Not for me. It feels like this is just lipstick on a pig. It really does. It doesn't do anything for me, and I see it on the list, but I don't. And we'll get to West Virginia, but I don't think all schools have to sign off on this.
You would think so,
and I don't think they're going to do that. Well, I mean, you think Oregon's going to sign off on wanting to go over to West Virginia all the time and vice versa?
Well, I mean, I understand the Pac-12 wanting to have a little bit of a footprint in a third time zone, which would be in the middle.
I totally get that. And if that's what they want, then they need to come and get some schools like OSU, Texas Tech.
Doesn't that make the most sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you're West Virginia, you're hanging out in Morgantown, and you got to be sitting there thinking, okay, now is this just a football alliance? Is this going to happen in the other Olympic sports?
Yeah.
So you're telling me, if you're Bob Huggins, thinking, good God, I'm going to have to fly across the country two or three times a basketball season to satisfy what this is?
Yeah. And they can be the first to speak up and say, we didn't sign up for this. We already agreed to come to Middle America. Now you're forcing us to go over to USC.
All the way to the West Coast, yeah.
To California. Forget it.
It feels like it's something that's too little too late.
This feels like
a move that should have happened in 2012.
Yeah.
You get TCU, you get West Virginia. Now let's get this going with the big with whoever, Pac-12, whatever, to already be more enticing to the TV networks. This just does. This feels like just a last gasp of trying to keep the conference afloat. And if I'm one of those schools, if I'm any of those eight schools that are still in the Big 12, I don't want this. I don't need your help. I don't need Bob Bowlesby threatening to sue ESPN for trying to torpedo the conference.
Yeah.
I want to, if ESPN wants to come to Stillwater and help me figure out how to get into the Pac-12, I want that to happen.
Yeah.
Help. Because there's no way at this point any of those eight schools are going to turn down an offer from one of these other conferences so that they can be in a scheduling alliance with the Pac-12. It's just not going to happen.
No.
And so pull the plug.
Yeah, that my big question is, and this has been the original question since the OU Texas stuff has basically even started, now that it's official that they're moving on, who's the first school, the next school that's going to announce, we're out, where are we going? And that's a good question, because who's it going to be is going to reflect on how they reacted when OU and Texas left, meaning imagine if it is OSU.
Yeah, but nobody cares. I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, no, wait a minute, you threw a fit because people left the conference, now you're next to leave. I think there's talks happening. Jim said he's heard from people that OSU is actively pursuing the Pac-12, and I'm sure the Pac-12 is listening because their commissioner said he's been answering phone calls left and right. So that's Bowlesby is just trying to keep this together as long as they can. Basically, I wonder how. If his idea, his end game is, I'm going to keep the Big 12 alive as long as it takes until OU and Texas crack and they sign a check to leave. Because if we dissolve, they don't owe us anything.
Yeah, I mean, and if...
to stick it to them.
But here's the problem. That's fine for him. And that can be his end game. Feel free. But if you're one of those other schools and that's your end game, you're going to get left behind.
That's true, too.
That cannot be the case. If you're any of those other eight... and you get the option of doing anything outside of forming a big conference with the AAC, you have to jump ship.
Yeah.
You have to, because at that point, and I kind of forget, you know, in 2011, this was a huge topic as far as what does it take to dissolve the conference? How many have to leave? How many have to be gone? You know, is it half? Is it, you know, it's, I can't remember. It seemed like that half number was kind of the one. And so, but it feels like everyone's just kind of waiting around for somebody to jump. And that somebody, I think, is West Virginia. Everyone's just kind of waiting. Other conferences, maybe even the Big 12 schools, are just waiting for them to say, and then they can go, only seven, no chance this works. Four go here, two go here, and Baylor's left holding the cake. Down in Waco with nowhere to go but the AAC.
Right.
That's what it feels like is happening. So Bob Bowlesby is the one standing in the way of that happening. And I understand it from his point of view, but at some point, somebody else, whether it be Oklahoma State, whether it be whoever, it doesn't matter who, they need to take him inside and say, listen, Bob, this ain't going to work. We don't want it to work. We have this. But you can't do that because then with the way he's been firing off litigious plans, you got to kind of tiptoe around that. But, I mean, if everyone just leaves, the conference dissolves, and then we all move on our merry way. Right?
Right.
Because
let me ask you, do you think that for this alliance to work, every school, kind of like, you know, the SEC, it was a unanimous vote to bring in OU and Texas. Would this alliance between the Big 12 and the Pac-12 work? Does it every school has to be on board?
I think so.
Right? Because I don't see that happening. I don't.
I think it has to be because otherwise, what do you really have? You don't have there's no faith and there's no trust in what's happening because, I mean, if you're any of those eight schools left, you've got to be constantly looking over your shoulder to the east and going, when is West Virginia leaving? They never really felt like a fit anyhow, all kind of secluded, all on their own. And now with where they're at geographically, I mean, you get the Pitt rivalry back as a conference game. That's one of the nastier ones in the country that nobody really knows about. You know,
yeah.
Virginia Tech, Virginia, they're all right there. I mean, it makes so much sense.
Man, I think maybe the ACC is just trying to find one more. You know, you don't want to be uneven. They're trying West Virginia, hold your spot right there. We got a spot for you. We got to find someone else, though.
Oh, there's no doubt what they're doing.
And they're trying hard to get Notre Dame.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
West Virginia, just cool down. You're it. We got to talk Notre Dame into it. So if you can't, that's when things – if you're Baylor, you're calling – Jack Schwarbrink every single day saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Because at that point, then one of these other schools probably goes with West Virginia. You know, Kansas makes a lot of sense from a basketball standpoint. Then all of a sudden, you open up to who would go with Iowa State. But Kansas is the only AAU school. So how does that work Big Ten-wise? If we think that everybody's going to end up at 16, which I think eventually
it is. Is it true that there's a law at the state of Kansas?
I don't know.
Is that true that Kansas State has to go with
that? That was supposedly true back when in the first round of these talks with OU and OSU. That's clearly not true.
Handshake deals.
I don't know. It's hard to tell how much without sitting down and reading the whole, laws of the state of Kansas. You know, if that is true, then that means if the Big Ten has to take somebody that's not an AAU.
Yeah.
Are they going to do that? Or does that make Kansas go west and then all of a sudden opens up the door for Oklahoma State or somebody of that ilk to go with Iowa State up north? But then they're not the AAU. I mean, there's a lot of kind of working pieces. But I think Notre Dame is the piece that's going to start all of this. They're either going to flat out not do it, or as soon as they decide, okay, yeah, we'll do the ACC, then boom, everything blows up.
Yep.
By the way, I forgot to mention this yesterday. This could be a bucket list option for high school sports.
Okay.
Coming up on Friday.
Tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah, Friday the 6th, 6:30, out here at the softball complex. This is going to be cool. The Elk City High School and Junior High softball teams are going to have a game. It's going to be high school and junior high girls versus their parents.
Oh.
6:30. It's called the grudge match. Admission to go watch is $5. They're going to serve everybody hot dogs and chips. Eat first. The game will start around 7:30.
The grudge match. That's
so awesome. If you want to go out and watch an old man pull his hamstring
trying to track
down a ball in the outfield. The place for that is tomorrow, 6:30, the Elk City Softball Complex, the grudge match. It's the kids versus the parents. And I cannot wait for Monday when we get the injury list from the geezers that weren't able to handle playing against the high school and junior high softball girls.
Oh, man, just to watch the parents try to bat is worth the price of admission alone.
Listen, hitting is the least of my worries for them. It's going to be whoever's playing center field trying to chase one down in the gap and just fall into the ground.
Or come up lame grabbing
the ball. Is Jeremy okay out there? Somebody pick him up.
Oh, that's good.
So what I'm telling you is whoever's going to be in charge of the golf cart to buzz out there, pick him up, and get him out of the way.
Make sure you got one of those flatbeds on the back.
Either gas her up all the way or make sure the batteries are charged fully. 6:30 softball complex, the grudge match. Go at $5 to watch it. Hot dogs, chips, all night long.
Good stuff.
Game at 7:30. That'll be fun.
That'll be real fun.
Is there any doubt that the high school girls win this? High school and junior high girls win?
There's no doubt.
I mean, we've had national champions roll through here. I want to see somebody face Pogue. What was her first name?
Dadgummit. I don't know.
13 years old. She throws like 60 already.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's see somebody step in there and try that one.
That's going to be awesome.
It'll be fun. I'm gone tomorrow, so see you on Monday. Yeah. Everybody have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered early.